Welcome to the NutGallery.com podcast. This is a special edition podcast where we interview Anson Mount, best known for his role as Ben in the movie Crossroads and a ton of other wonderful projects he's been involved in. He comes on our show today to talk about his new project, Cook County. Hope you enjoy the interview. Did you want to start out by talking about your new project you got going on?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Okay, and that's Cook County?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, Cook County is a movie that I produced and am in that we shot last summer. And I just realized today that it's almost a year since we started talking about it, which is actually, in the world of film, it's kind of quick. A lot of films sit in development for years on end and only get made after I read an article with, who's the guy that directed Mother Night? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
And the Chocolate Wars. Anyways, it took him 4 years to get Mother Night made. It kind of amazes me. But Cook County, we're finishing up actually the color correction and at the end of next week, and we'll be ready to take it to the South by Southwest Film Festival, which we got accepted to this year. And we're very excited. The writer and director is a guy named David Pomus, who wrote this incredibly crazy screenplay about a family of meth addicts in Texas. And he sent it to my manager and asked them if they'd pass it on to me, and they read it and said, we think you should take a look at this. And, sure enough, I thought, wow, yeah, I need to do this. So we started talking. We shot it with a crew of about four, and we've been finishing it up since then. But it is, I think it's the best thing that I've done so far. It's a very small movie. It's a very dark movie. It's Southern. It's weird. It's not for the light of heart, but it's the most I think it's one of the most interesting characters I've ever played. And I think it's going to end up being the film that's closest to my heart, at least, since the beginning of my career.
Wow. Now, you're also taking a producing role in this?
Yes, exactly.
What extra job duties does being the producer give you?
Producer is the most overused, generalized term in the English language, I think. Basically, it could mean a lot of different things. Producer usually means whatever it takes to get... then you'll hear about executive producers in the independent world are usually the people who front the money. And you've got associate producers who are people who've been tapped to come on board because they have a certain kind of experience. Usually when an actor signs on to be a producer, it means that they're going to have a creative input into how the work develops. That, in this case, I sort of had to come on and fill some other shoes. So I've been much more active on this project than I ever thought that I would be. But it's great. It's a blessing. It's given me a chance to learn more about my business. It was amazing how much I did not know. And there's really no way to learn how to produce other than just jumping into it. There's really nothing you can learn, class or a book. It's sink or swim.
You shot this in Texas?
Shot this. We were based at a little place called Cleveland, Texas, which is just about an hour north of Houston. And then we shot most of our stuff. We shot about a further half hour out into the country.
I would much rather be there right now.
Where are you?
I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We got hit with
10
inches of snow, and we got another 10 on the way.
Wow.
So if you like skiing, I guess we're in the right place to be. But is there anyone else involved in the project?
Xander Berkeley plays my brother in this, and this young actor I like a lot named Ryan Donahue plays... And he's actually down in Austin right now shooting a movie, so he's going to be down there at the festival with us.
cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you can tell us about David Pomus on directing and writing?
David is a retired trial attorney. He kind of got fed up with his life as a lawyer and decided to try something else. And he's made a good first foray into directing. Most people crash and burn, but he's done a pretty good job of it.
Cool. And do you want to maybe give a little more specifics, specifically on your character?
Yeah, I play a character named Bump, B-U-M-P, and Bump is the local drug dealer and is also himself a user of methamphetamine. He has a daughter, Deandra, no wife. We're not sure what happened to her. And his nephew Abe lives with him, since my brother, Abe's father has been gone, disappeared. And about 15 minutes in the movie, Sonny, my brother, shows up, and we think that he's just been around touring, trying to figure out how to make methamphetamine more efficient and more potent, and it turns out he's actually been in jail and he's got to deal with the feds, and he's got to figure out if he's going to turn us in or what he's going to do, while at the same time he's trying to rekindle his relationship with his son. So it's a really dark, cold setup for the movie, but it's got this real interesting form of this father-son relationship in it.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Now, when you take it to this film festival, are you looking to get it on the big screen, or?
Our ultimate goal would be to sell it, and so we're going to be hopefully talking to some buyers at the festival. If not, we'll do the next festival, and if not, we'll set up screenings in Los Angeles.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a daunting task to make a movie number one, but to make a movie and then sell it is a pretty tough thing. But we're pretty confident of our work at least, so we'll see how people react.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions about some of your other stuff you've done?
Sure.
I know a lot of the teenage listeners will recognize you from Crossroads.
Uh-huh.
And is it actually true that Robert De Niro read with you for that?
You know, if there's one question that I've been asked the most in my career, it's that one right there, and I never should have said anything about it whatsoever. It's been so blown out of proportion.
Yeah?
You know, we were working. He asked me what I was reading. I said it was the script of Crossroads. Didn't know if I wanted to do it. He said, why, you know, it's a chance to act. You know, so that definitely went a long way to convincing me to do the movies.
I'm sorry
working.
I bought into that then.
Huh?
I'm sorry I bought into that.
Oh, well, you know, he also with me. And he read the Britney lines, and he wasn't that great, but he's got a great sense of humor. He's definitely not what I expected.
Cool. Your role in Corpus Christi was pretty controversial too.
Yeah.
And what's that like to be involved in a project that people are protesting?
Man, I could go on for hours about that job. That was really my first major professional gig out of school. You know, and then suddenly I'm performing not just at a major New York theater venue, but I'm performing behind metal detectors, and there's a bomb sniffing dog, and it's just it was a good experience, because at a certain point you just had to put all that stuff out of your head and do the work. and not worry about the politics. And it was a great experience working with those actors and with Joe Mantello and Terrence McNally. I'll never forget it.
Now, you said right out of school you went to Columbia University. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How was...
I went straight from undergrad to graduate school at Columbia. Oh,
okay. Do you recommend that path for actors?
It depends on the actor. I definitely do not think that graduate school is for everyone, particularly on the acting path, because it's a lot of money, and it's hard to work your way into a position where you're going to be doing acting. You know, a lot of my classmates went and worked at a bank for several years afterwards to pay off their loans. That's one, and two, it's also, you know, it's you're putting a lot of faith, you're putting 3 years of faith into other people's hands to train you properly. And not everybody does well with that situation, particularly people who've been out in the professional world for a while and are being asked to come in and drop everything that they've learned and start over again. So, no, I don't recommend it for everybody, but it was good for me. Gave me 3 years of a place to fail, and it also, you know, being in a classical program, I think it, more than anything, it taught me how to recognize what good material is, and I'm still learning that.
All right. Well, I have five questions that I ask pretty much everyone we interview.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Anything you're currently reading or listening to?
What am I currently reading or listening to?
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of bouncing between Long Day's Journey into Night, play by Eugenie O'Neill, and book by Sam Shepard called Motel Chronicles. And I've also been thumbing through last year's Pushcart Prize winners.
Cool.
That's what I've been reading. What I've been listening to, whatever's on Rock Band. That's what I've been listening to. I don't know. I have Sirius Satellite Radio, and I'm in my car, and I listen to the 80s channel a lot, if that tells you anything. But I've sort of, you know, I don't buy a lot of music anymore. I guess that means I'm getting old.
Your favorite movie genre?
My favorite movie genre? Oh, man. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say the zombie movie.
Nice.
I like zombie movies a lot. Pretty much any zombie movie ever made, I will watch it.
That's cool. Most influential person in your life?
Most influential person in my life. I guess that would be my father.
Okay.
He died when I was young, when I was 13, so it spurred an intense interest for me in who he was and trying to figure that out. He was a great writer and a very eccentric man. And to be creative with my life.
That's probably the best answer we've gotten on that question.
Okay.
One person you'd like to meet?
One person I would like to meet, wow. Living or dead? Does it
Either.
Matter? Either?
Yep.
Now that, oh, man, that is hard. Oh, God. I'm not going to do the George Bush and say Jesus, because I'd be copying him. and I don't like that answer. I'm going to say Mahatma Gandhi.
Nice. And if you had unlimited power to change one thing in the world, what would it be?
Unlimited power to change one thing in the world. What would it be? Choose easy questions, do you?
No, I kind of mislead you with the first one because that one was kind of easy. But
unlimited power to change one thing in the world, what would it be? I would... God, saying ending war is just, it's so pat, and it's, but my real answer is going to sound awful. I think that we need to be careful about how many people we're bringing into the world.
I don't think that's awful at all, because it's very true.
I think that we a lot of the problems we're experiencing are stemming from how many people we are giving birth to, and the population boom, and we're already seeing, you know, a lot of the wars that are going on right now are resource. That's kind of scary to me.
Yeah, I think that's a very good, it's a very truthful answer.
Well, thank you.
I guess anything you want to jump in and add? You have open mic night.
No, I mean, if anybody out there is listening and you have a chance to, if you're going to be anywhere near Austin between March 7th and March 15th, please come see Cook County. We're going to be screening, let's see, Monday to March 10th and Saturday, March 15th. And we need audience there. I'd love everybody to see it. I'm very proud of it.
Awesome. I will put that right in the notes here.
Great.
Make sure we get that out to the listeners.
Awesome.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.